Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 25.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. I have an awesome show for you that's just splattered with gold. You're going to love this episode. And before I do, I just want to drop two little bombs on you. First, I have a link now on my website that will bring you directly to Brendan Hull's Next Restaurants. It's just a great website with so many valuable resources on digital marketing, and the best part about it is it's absolutely objective, and I just really like what he's doing over there, and everything he puts out is really valuable, so it's worth checking out. I'm willing to put my name on it, so go support Brandon. He's a great guy, and I'm not getting any money to tell you this, by the way. This is all just because I believe in what he's doing. So the other thing I want you guys to check out is this other link on the website that I just added that goes to the Voice Library, and that's another good friend of mine, Al. He has a great product where he captures the stories, and that's exactly what I'm doing here. We're just capturing stories. So if that's a platform you're interested in, go check that out. I will be at the National Restaurant Association convention this year too, so if you're there, look me up. Let's connect. It would be fun. Enjoy today's show. With excitement, please allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Paul Hibbler. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great, Eric.
Awesome. Are you ready to make some restaurant dreams unstoppable with your advice?
I'll try not to crush any.
That's the first time I've
heard
that.
But I'll tell you the truth.
I know you will, and I've already picked that up about you. You're extremely honest, so I can't wait to find out what you have in store for us. So let me just give a quick introduction of today's spotlight guest. Paul is the chef, proprietor, restaurateur, whatever you want to call it, behind Pitfire Pizza, Superba. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm an East Coast guy.
That's right.
Also, Eastboro, which all fall under the umbrella of the American Gonzo Food Corporation. Paul started with Pitfire Pizza over 17 years ago and has since grown the operation to 8 locations that may have changed. Hopefully that's accurate. You have so much going on, and these are all in Southern California. In the past 2 years, there has seemed to have been an explosion of activity in Paul's professional career, which include the opening, like I mentioned, of Superba Snack Bar, and I still think I'm saying that wrong. I'm an East Coast guy.
Superba.
Superba, sorry. And Eastboro, and also Superba Food and Bread. And like I said, I'm not sure if I got all that right. It seems like there's
you got
so,
it.
Good. Feel free to correct me and fill in anything. But now that I've just given a brief introduction, do you want to elaborate a little bit more and kind of give us your background and your story?
Well, you know, I came out of an odd direction. I had a motion picture catering company for almost 20 years doing movie catering when they make films all over the country.
That is unique.
You have these big catering trucks that go out and feed the movie crews for 3 and 4 months at a time.
Awesome.
And we were a little successful. It was after I finished Titanic down in Mexico. I'd been for a year taking care of Jim Cameron and his crew.
You did all the cooking for Titanic?
And all the Jim Cameron movies.
Oh, that's cool.
That we decided that was too hard, and so we would make it easy on ourselves and wanted to start a little casual pizza concept. So we got together, and we were watching the explosion of the taco, like artisan taco concept. So you had Baja Fresh come on, and it was even before Chipotle.
Oh, wow.
And so I wanted to do a pizza version of that. I wanted to do a really casual, pizza concept based around the idea of a counter service restaurant, which is right about when all that stuff took off. And I started, without really knowing too much about what I was doing, but I had another company. So I had the catering company supporting the R&D for maybe 5 or 6 years. We just kind of had one pit fire, and we had the luxury of trying to figure out what the heck we were doing along the way. Most people don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
When they start a restaurant, it's a little bit more immediate than that.
And we were and you're talking about the luxury being the multiple streams of revenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like I had a day job while I was rocking Pit Fire, and things changed. And Fire would not exist today had I not been able to really work on it and watch what was going on in that food movement. And then, you know, because 4 or 5 years later after I did that, the artisan food pizza movement started. Mm. And I was at the right place at the right time and kind of paying attention to my partner.
Yeah.
And we really embraced that idea of artisan craftsmanship being applied to a very simple idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were right there when that kind of wave took off, and we kind of been surfing down that ever since.
Awesome.
But that's unusual in when you start a restaurant be able to have that.
Cool. And
so let me finish. So
yeah,
like, why am I doing all this other crazy stuff? Because we grew a really great company with some really great people and a spirit inside the company, and also an infrastructure. So we have an operating system. We have like a OS Pit Fire operating system.
Yeah.
It has all sorts of grown-up stuff like accounting and human resources and ops and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like along the way after, you know, starting to go Pit Fire more rapidly, I also thought as kind of an indulgence or reward for myself that maybe I should try to apply some of those principles to helping others realize some of their dreams. So that's how American Gonzo, it came out of Pit Fire.
Dude, you are resonating with me so much. The words you're saying are just so. So I don't want to get off topic, but yeah, it's just I guess the word is your purpose is just so cool.
Just
the things I'm picking up on. We're not best friends. This is the first time we've ever talked, but just for me doing the research and from a third party point of view, it's cool. And I don't want to get off topic. Is there anything else you want to add to
that
introduction?
Well, I'll tell you. So, you know, like, what does that mean? What am I talking about? I'll tell you my higher purpose that is in the theme of everything that I try to do is that I'm trying to create community gathering places.
Oh,
my
man.
Mission in life is to make people not look at their phone for an hour or 2 hours or whatever. So we're, you know, and I feel like we as human beings are beleaguered by, you know, they're trying to shove us into the matrix right now and just to have us all following our phones and our screens around,
mm-hmm.
not really being with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's kind of like we're alone together now in this world.
It's scary.
And
I couldn't agree.
So hospitality, what is that? So it's about gathering. It's about getting people together and having them, giving them warm, engaging, creative spaces and great artisan food, art, community, and design and food, you know, using all those elements to engage people and kind of force them to be present for a little bit. That's really, you know, I'm passionate about food. I'm passionate about a lot of things, but as a guy with a family and friends, and I feel the loneliness, you know, that we all feel. So that's what drives me. And and then also people with dreams are turn me on, and I want to help them. I wanted to create some tools. It's like an incubator. I think you might have read that, but so we come in here and we bring somebody in with a dream, and we help them try to hang some reality around it.
Oh man, like you have no idea. The motto that I like to say here at Restaurant Unstoppable is you know, helping restaurant dreams become unstoppable. And it's not my advice, it's people like you who have gone through it who are offering that advice. And that's why, you know, what you're saying to me, it resonates so much, because I know that there needed to be something like this where we could share and collaborate and help the next generation of restaurant professionals.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm so happy to have you on the phone. And you're talking, and I'm smiling. I know you can't see my face, but yeah. It's just so cool because I haven't even asked you a question yet, and you're knocking this interview out of the park. So you're just dropping so much gold, and I can't wait to see what we come up with. But we do. I want to make the most of your time, so we'll try to continue on here. The first the question I start with is, you know, what's your success or leadership quote or mantra that you use and kind of apply to your everyday life?
Well, that's interesting. You know, the most fundamental one, and I if anybody's out there is going to like think that they want to be in this business, the first thing you have to surrender to is that you're going to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, you know, none of this happens without leadership. And I'm a little different generation. There was a great basketball coach named John Wood, who coached at UCLA way back in the day. He won 11, I think he won 10 national championships in a row.
Okay.
And he wrote a book. In that book are some great tenets. The most important one is to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time what was old school restaurant work was, especially in the kitchen, was there's a pyramid. Oh, it's a pyramid of success. So there you go. That's the name of John Wooden's.
I'll have to look that up. That sounds
in kitchens, in the banging celebrity chef world that even still kind of exists today, the pyramid in the kitchen is upright, and it has the chef at the top of the pyramid,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else underneath. And in order to kind of do the artisan, sincere work that we need to do with all the rules and everything about restaurant work is you have to invert the pyramid. So you have to be at service to everybody that works for you, all the way up to the dishwasher.
Oh, man.
You have to be there to be of service and leading by example. So you're of service to everybody. You're trying to create a service environment. And it starts with your first customer is the people that work for you.
I love it. It's such gold. Okay. Everything you're saying is so valuable.
Stupid.
No,
simple,
it's not at all.
Sometimes, you know, there are inarguable rules about trying to be successful in this business.
Yeah,
and that's kind of, like the first one.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the saying, you know, you have to be a go-giver instead of a go-getter. You have to be a go-getter, but you also have to be a go-getter.
Yeah.
And it starts by, you know, first asking the question, how can I help you? Instead of asking yourself, how can you help me? So, yeah, you know, you're spot on, and I'm loving everything you're saying. And the next question I have for you, Paul, is what's your it factor? What personality characteristics do you have that kind of contribute to your success? And I think you already kind of led on to this a little bit. I hate for you to regurgitate what you've already said, but go for it.
Well, I think in this industry, you know, I started when I was, my family owned some restaurants, and I was washing dishes and cooking in restaurants when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from the kitchen, so I come from where the real work is getting done. And so I have a strong respect for the people that are doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm just very passionate. And I love what I do, and I don't really think that I have a job, which is very necessary in food. Because if you're doing this for a job, it'll kill you.
Oh, man.
You're doing it because you love it, and you know, fixing a pipe that's broken in your restaurant at 3 o'clock in the morning is like the greatest thing in the world. You're gonna be all right, but you have to bring a lot of love and passion to this work.
Oh man, those words you're using, love, passion, that's it. And if you have to do it for those reasons, because if you do it for any other reasons, if your purposes are monetary, you're gonna be so disappointed.
Absolutely. I mean, that comes with the passion.
Exactly.
You're rewarded. Like, so there's like big business food companies, right? Big
mm-hmm.
corporate, big national, the big industrial restaurant and food combine, which I have just total disrespect and hatred for. And then there are people that are doing it for noble reasons, for reasons that, you know, it's almost compulsive. I just have to do this because I love it so much, and I care about it. And nothing makes me happier to walk into a restaurant that I get to work with that is filled with people, and there's just this energy moment that happens in a restaurant where you can just feel it lift off the ground,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's like the kind of buzz that I chase in all this work that I do.
That's awesome, man. Some of the research I did, I found some other kind of keywords that popped to me in regards to the kind of person you are. And one thing that just kept on coming was honesty. You're a very straight shooter. You're very honest. And another, you say this in one of your recent interviews you did with Eater.com, you look for truth and you look for honesty and with your food, too. And it's
absolutely,
and it's authentic is the other word that really stands out to me.
Yeah,
I might have mentioned that earlier, but you're not a sellout. You keep true to the purpose of serving good food, locally sourced food. Your purposes are awesome, and you grew to the point where you got to 7 or 8 locations with Pitfire. And I think you might have asked yourself, you know, how thin can I stretch myself? And when you got to that point.
Learning.
I'm
going to be honest with you. I just opened Superba Food. I'm in the middle of opening Superba Food and Bread right now, which is like I'm the Gonzo client. This is my, it's 2 blocks from my house.
Yeah.
And it's an incredibly, it's something I've been dreaming about for 20 years. And it's complicated. It's a bakery and a patisserie, and it's got an insanely high standard coffee component, and it's a restaurant that serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner in this beautiful building that we were able to buy and put together with my girls, the design bitches, the architects that I work with. And it's very, you know, but at the same time, I'm taking care of Pitfire, and we're getting ready to build 2 of them, and we've got, you know, 400 people and all this stuff going on.
Man.
And I'm getting a lot of offers to move Pitfire further away. And that's the line in the sand that I'm dancing on right now. But like, how far are you allowed to go and still keep it real?
Exactly.
You know?
And you know,
and that's a big question.
And that's what I feel like. You know, I don't want to assume anything because you haven't made any decisions. But just what kind of stood out to me is you aren't willing to sacrifice the authenticity and the passion for the money. And that is, and when you, what a lot of restaurateurs who are truly passionate about the hospitality and the authenticity. And I kind of see this quality with Danny Myers too. He starts building teams around himself. He gets to the point where he says, you know what, I have so much to give and I want to do more, but I can help people live out their dreams by offering them maybe whether it's investment or just the knowledge, the mentorship, and you can do more. And you're not gonna do it at the cost of spreading yourself too thin and losing that authenticity and that the factors that got you to where you are today in the first place. Your favorite restaurant experience. Share with me your favorite restaurant experience. Something that you know when you think back to this time, it kind of reminds you of why you pull all these crazy hours and why it's all worthwhile.
Oh, that's really easy. You know, we all have that moment in time where you come to a place that inspires you so much that you know, whether it be like if you're a musician and you see, you know, some guitarist or somebody doing something that resonates with you, that inspires you. And for me, it just always goes back to my hometown in a restaurant there called the Zuni Cafe, which was still around and very much like Chez Panisse, which is the birthstone of all this stuff that everybody's doing in this country comes from Chez Panisse, really. And it was just walking into this perfect restaurant that had looked unbelievable with all these great, happy staff that were like trying to show me how much they loved the restaurant and the food and everything all together. It just like completely blew my mind. It's like I go there every time I go back to San Francisco still to this day. And it just really, it wasn't about any one thing. It was just about the sum of all the parts and how absolutely comfortable and perfect it was.
That's awesome. Great. Thank you for sharing that story. All right, and this is the one that you're going to, I think you're just going to take it and run because of our hero, Danny Myers. Enlightened hospitality, you've heard of it. No question that, we need good food and we need good service in this industry to be successful. But people tend to overlook that third factor, which is hospitality. Things like warmth and kindness, right? So the question I have for you is, the definition that he has for enlightened hospitality is, you know, prioritizing first, showing that hospitality to your employees, then to your guests, and then to your community, suppliers, right, and investors. So what's one story you have for me where you either yourself displayed enlightened hospitality or you saw one of your team members displaying hospitality?
Well, let me start out by saying that internally in Pitfire, we have our kind of secret mantra, which is called the kindness campaign. And
awesome.
That like, as we've grown, you know, and I've got some really switched on people coming in, there's a desire to quantify what we do. There's like, you need more and more robust handbooks with rules and all these operational, they're like really just like bum me out. Like you can't believe.
Oh man.
And so I'm like going, well, I need the kryptonite. I need to counter that. I need to show a star up in the sky. And, you know, first it's a mission statement, and then it's all these different, you know, it's getting distilled. And I'm like, it's just not simple enough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
How do I tell people what to do in the simplest way? How do we roll? You know, what are we trying to do? It's very simple. We're trying to exceed people's expectations.
I love it.
Every day when somebody comes into your place, and that includes your vendor. And by the way, anybody that thinks they want to be in hospitality, you have to read Setting the Table, Danny's book. It's like the Bible, you know. So kindness, right? This concept of kindness transcends it all. That's the tool that you use. Because if you're approaching this experience, whether you're working or you're a customer, or I'm the leader or however, and if we let that be the overriding principle to what we do, like, but just extension of kindness. If your kindness is in mind, and you're a waiter and you have to do setups and you have to get your, you know, pre-bus or do stuff to get for the next shift to come in or whatever, you're applying that by going, man, I'm going to just do a little bit more because I want to take care of the next guy,
mm-hmm,
because that's going to make this all work. So, you know, examples of transcending kindness. You know, as a company, here's a really good example, the kindness campaign.
Right,
so we do these things, called pizza bombs, right? And what is that? So that's like, find the most screwed up situation that you can think of, like an intersection somewhere, you know, on a Friday afternoon where, you know, you're just sitting for an hour waiting to get through a light or something, or like the DMV,
mm-hmm,
okay? And then you just go out there with a pizza trailer and a shit ton of pizzas, and you just go up to people and give them to them.
That's
and
awesome.
Walk away.
That is so cool.
Or, you know, where your managers and their locations are tasked with finding out about, you know, the schools and what's going on in the schools so that they can find out, oh, the fifth grade class at the Mark Twain Elementary School just got their highest whatever, raised more money, you know, they did something. So, and then you just come right in, you bring pizza, give it to them, and leave. And just, like, what's the catch?
Pizza
there
bombs.
Is no catch.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, there's no, like, kindness, you can't do it with a result. You have to do it from kindness. It's not contrived, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
That's why you got to have people that are that way naturally around you.
Yes, absolutely. And your story kind of reminds me, I don't know if you're a fan of podcasts, if you listen to podcasts, but there's one,
sure,
just the way you're talking, if you haven't discovered this podcast yet, it's the Kick-Ass Life podcast by David Wood. It's an awesome podcast. And he uses an example of, just for fun, you know, someday, the next time you're in a drive-thru, I'm not really a drive-thru kind of guy. I like, you know, I don't think any of us are in this industry, but buy the pizza or buy the, you know, the food for the car behind you just for fun. What is it? $5, but just offer to pay for it and then just drive away. And it's that little act of kindness is going to like flip that person's world upside down. And that's exactly what you're doing with your pizza bombs. And it only comes back to pay you, you know, just.
It comes back as you're going to inspire somebody, the person that you're being kind to, just by osmosis. It just starts, it's contagious.
Absolutely.
And I see it happening when I'm able to really put that out with my tribe. I see that coming around,
mm-hmm,
coming back around. And I encourage everybody to try to just do a random act of kindness every day to somebody.
That's awesome. Oh, man, we're learning so much from you. We're really just halfway through this interview. So the next question I have is, what is your biggest challenge, and how are you overcoming that challenge?
My biggest challenge is the neglected part of the restaurant business is in the front of the house. All the frustration here is that, you know, all the cooks are getting all the credit, mm-hmm. basically. But that's only not even half the battle when it comes to a restaurant. So mm-hmm. trying to create a medium of expression for people that are just inspired by service and giving them their due, because there's a lack of it. There's a lack of people that are just, like, totally turned on to just, like, be a manager, to the art, being a restaurant manager is, I think, harder than being a chef. And we need to, we're trying internally to create a program where we're able to, it's like the minors yeah. in baseball. We're trying to grow our own talent now, because it's mm-hmm. really difficult.
Absolutely. And it's funny because you do that. We idolize the chef in today's culture. And it's funny because of how, it's the big picture. It's a team effort. And it would be fun to see the Food Network kind of do a special where they put like GMs head to head. And
absolutely. Like, and give them so problems. Cool. They're a bunch of problem solvers.
Yeah. And they're emotionally intelligent. They're just
very much so. If you're not. Yeah. Emotional intelligence. That's funny. Do you know about emotional intelligence?
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Setting the Table book. So, not like to think, it's that type of intelligence that is necessary to make it in this industry, especially if you are front of the house, you need to be emotionally intelligent.
Absolutely. I'm working with a consultant right now just on emotional intelligence training inside my company.
Yeah. It's huge.
Those investments, they pay off. They pay off. And, there's Danny Myers, who I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
Or kind of like as like a great beacon. And then there's the Hillstone Group
mm-hmm.
that has all the Houstons. And it's a small independent national restaurant company. And then there's Zingerman's, who are just like a bunch of stoner hippie dudes in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who are the most brilliant service-oriented company I've ever seen.
But I bet they're happy. A lot of
they're very happy.
Which is important, right?
Well, we're in the happy business.
Exactly.
Dude.
That's what matters, man. So if you're ready to move on, I will ask you the next question, but I don't want to cut you short, so let me know if I am.
No, that's good.
Okay, cool. The next part of this podcast is what I like to call knowledge bombs, and I swear to God that's the name of this part. I'm not just making it up because of your pizza bombs. It's just a coincidence. So drop some knowledge bombs on us. Give us some. This is where you kind of pass on like the technical side. We've already kind of covered the emotional side. We learned about you and what it is that makes you successful, but this is your chance to kind of pass on the technical knowledge. So the first question I have for you is employee retention is, most definitely or very arguably the biggest struggle in the restaurant industry. So what advice do you have for us to first find those people and then to keep them as valuable employees?
Well, there you go, man. It's about sustainability and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It's about providing an engaging mission to the work.
Can you elaborate on engaging? Break that down a little for us?
I like to we kind of operate on a tribal basis in Pitfire.
Yeah.
And the things that work the best is when we create little triangles of people that might not even be in the same store, and we give them stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we engage them. We have T-shirt design contests internally. We have.
That's cool.
We have a film festival, and you have to. The challenge is it's a minute film about Pitfire, something about Pitfire, what it means to you, but you have to do it on an iPhone.
That's awesome.
And you can see some of those on our website.
Do you use the content afterwards to, share?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, you're so
absolutely.
Smart.
Yeah, but
I hope you guys are taking notes back home, because this guy, Paul, he is dropping some knowledge bombs right now. Write this stuff down. He's got some good stuff.
I have people that are working. Pitfire is very casual. It's like your first, it's your transition restaurant job where mm-hmm. you're coming out of a burger joint or whatever you're, and it's like your first exposure to service and getting prepared to maybe go on to work in a more refined restaurant.
Okay.
If that's your calling, or if you want to learn how to run a restaurant, I have a lot of those people that have become managers. But one of the things about Pitfire is that nobody leaves. Some people stay there just because they like working there. Mm-hmm. And that's the magic dust that you need to have about engaging people. You know, we have, and I'm going to use a profanity. I hope that's okay. But we have the Cut Your Work Shirt contest.
So I'll have to fix that, but it's okay.
Let's call Screw Up Your Work Shirt contest. Messed Up Your Work. Whatever. Anyway, I have a T-shirt, but, you know, it's like I'm just not a baseball hat and a T-shirt and an apron kind of guy. I mean, that's just not who I am or what I'm drawn to.
Yep.
So we do have T-shirts, but then we encourage everybody to alter them and add some style to the shirt. And you would be, like, blown away by some of the things that people have come up with.
That's so cool.
As a means of self-expression. And anything like that you can do, because, you know what, it's thankless, almost work. It's hard work. It's fun. In busy restaurants, it's a lot of fun, but mm-hmm. it's hard work, mm-hmm. you know, it's serious
absolutely.
Hard work.
It's absolutely
and
hard work.
To keep people, there has to be more to it than that.
Yep.
And that's...
So wrap really, it up in two sentences for us.
Two sentences?
Yeah.
Find a way to give a purpose to the functionality of your restaurant for the people that are working there.
That is such a bold word right there, purpose. I think that's really the perfect word to use to sum it up is when people feel like they have a purpose, they come to work happy. They know that they're feeling a void, and they have to know that.
And I'll tell you something. So, and everybody likes to feel that they're a part of something. So you have to put a thing in there.
Exactly. Yeah,
and you can't fake it, you know. It's got to occur naturally, but there is, like, being part of something. People are proud that they work mm-hmm. at a Pitfire. And the cooks and everybody, there's little things that we try to do to keep that feeling alive.
That's awesome. Great. Awesome. Great advice. Seriously, you're just dropping some gold on us today, and I'm loving every second of it. The next question I have for you, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this question too, is what's the best restaurant resource? This could be a book, website, magazine, or podcast. What's one resource you would like to share with our listeners? And I have a feeling I can think of at least one you're going to mention right now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the one that drives me crazy, but I use it just to keep my... And they've been really nice to me, but, you know, just like getting a feeling for what's going on in restaurants, it's just got to be Eater.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Eater's going to tell you. It's kind of warped. It's not giving you, because it's all about what's hot, what's opening, all that. It's kind of gossipy a little bit, but mm-hmm. it gives you a good feeling about what's going on. The one resource I don't use, and this might surprise you at all, I don't look. At all. I have people that work for me that look, but I never look, is Yelp.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Because I
get that.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe it's, you know, it's like, it's just that I have to, I'm a big fan. There's a independent pizza restaurant. I don't have the guts to do this, but there's these guys that I love that inspired me called Delfina Pizzeria up in San Francisco. And they took the most quotes from the most negative Yelp reviews that they could find, and they put them on their T-shirts.
That's bold.
About their restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And that's an example of, you know, it's kind of like, I'm just waiting to see where that all ends up, because the negativity of it,
you know,
doesn't really inspire me.
Yeah.
The one resource, the one thing that I do, like, almost sickly, you know, is like I have a fetish for cookbooks. So I'm buying all the cookbooks that are coming out, and I'm looking at, you know, a lot of websites constantly for inspiration.
That's awesome. And I just wanted to point out, while you're on the topic of Yelp, and just, you know, it is good to know that Yelp is kind of starting to lose credibility because of that exact reason, which is so, like, you know, good to know, because, you know, just one review can crush somebody's livelihood, and it's so stressful, really, is what it comes down to. But just half the people that are placing these reviews don't really know the first thing about the service industry. So it's really frustrating. So I get where you're coming from. And Eater.com is a great resource. They have an awesome newsletter that I don't mind pitching for them. Just if you go to their website and subscribe, they send out, like, I think it's monthly. It's there, and it keeps you on top of all the trends, industry trends, great articles, well-written. I share them on my Twitter accounts. And we already talked about Danny Myers.
But that's not a resource. That's mandatory. That's don't even think about being in this business without reading that book.
Yeah, and I have to ask.
Or you're a moron.
I have to ask, have you read Tribes by Seth Godin? Because you kept on using this word, tribes.
Absolutely. I'm. You know what? I'll tell you. So I got Delivering Happiness, which is another great, unbelievable resource about
organizing. I'm writing that down right now.
And that's the guy that started Zappos wrote that book.
Oh, really?
And Delivering Happiness. He has a phenomenal company. And, you know, sometimes the resources for what we're doing isn't necessarily from a restaurant perspective. There's information about... Mm-hmm. organizing, gathering, inspiring groups of people that are not just in restaurants. And so from Delivering Happiness came this tribal idea, and then I just really got into it, and I went, oh, my God, and this is 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. I went, oh, it's a tribe, you know? That's what it is. It's tribal. Whenever you have if you put 100 people on an island, I think that's in this book, mm-hmm. They would naturally organize themselves into like 30 or 40 unit tribes. They would split up and become tribes. Human beings naturally organize themselves that way.
That's interesting.
And it's the most positive functionality of a group of people when it's seen tribally, with the organization of elders, hierarchy, leadership, all these things. So, you know, that's most restaurants have about 40 people in them.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
And it's a great idea to have more than just like, here's my front house, here's my back house. You know, it's like those are fundamentals, right? Just like, you know, one of the things about Gondo is we have all those fundamental tools, like human resources and all that keep you out of trouble stuff. But you have to have a way that you're coming to a place.
And this is all in Delivering Happiness?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to read that one. I've never heard of it, but it sounds great. And is there any other thing you want to drop on us? I don't want to stop you because everything that comes out is...
I'm going to just tell you the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
You need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. You need to do a business plan. You need to know how much money. You have to have a realistic budget.
I mean,
and you have to understand who you're doing, whatever you're trying to think of, you got to really try to get your head around, you know, who you're doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Where are they? And you know, look for those holes in the market where you can see a need that's not being met. Mm-hmm. But if you're not properly planned, if you don't understand how much it costs to, and that's the biggest mistake everybody makes in the restaurant business, is that they don't have enough money. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough money in the bank. They don't understand how much it costs to train up a whole company filled with people to open a restaurant, how many hours of training you need to do. You know, I've learned the hard way over time.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you to the minute how much time it takes.
And that's why you're here, to tell us. And that's why I'm asking these questions, so we can learn. And we can learn from the mentors like you. And this is hopefully going to grow into a huge resource for folks like me or students.
Well, I love that you're doing this, man.
Thank you.
I love that younger people are, you know, one thing I've seen, what gives me the most hope is how the aesthetics of restaurant and food and hospitality has become a value of younger people that are like interested in it and drawn to it. And that when I was young and coming up, it wasn't the case. You know, it was Leonard Skinner in a case of Budweiser. You know, and I love that young people now are interested in what we're doing.
That's cool, man. I couldn't agree with. I do feel like it's the millennial generation that's kind of bringing it back. And I think it's because they were deprived of it because of how you know, the industry kind of swayed towards the corporations. So sad. But now that they are deprived of that sense of community and human interaction, they're kind of swinging back in the other way because they want it and they want to, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what I love about millennials?
What's that?
They have a great bullshit detector.
A bullshit detector, is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah. They know fake.
Yeah.
You know, like they're
not afraid to tell you either. You know,
they're not afraid to tell you, which I embrace. Yeah. Anybody wants to tell me something directly, I'm happy to hear it.
Awesome.
But there is an appreciation for craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And authenticity, that there's that word again, authenticity, that
it.
I'm seeing in millennials, that it makes me have hope that, uh-huh. that we're gonna slow down the big industrial engine and mm-hmm. make us not stop poisoning people
mm-hmm.
and giving them GMO and all the crap that's being packaged
scary,
and put together.
Man. It's so
for
scary.
Profit. Right?
Yeah, it's so scary. It's, greedy is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and people. Want, if you can find a way to put the other stuff, the good stuff, in front of people, they want it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that absolutely 100%
yeah.
true. That,
absolutely.
That people really would much rather not eat all that crap. And if you can take the time to learn how to do a simple thing well and come to it with that in mind, you're gonna do all right.
That's awesome. And I want to move on to the next question, just because this is usually between a half hour and a 40-minute podcast. I have a feeling we're
going
over, but I just don't want to stop you because you're just dropping all these great bombs. And before we move on, and this, you can answer this yes or no, have you read E-Myth?
No.
You would love that book. And the other one, I think, just from listening to you talk, that I think you'd love if you haven't, is The Go-Giver.
I haven't read that either.
We have to start a book club or something, because I feel like
yeah,
we have the same taste.
E-Myth. E-Myth. All right. Go-Giver?
It's called The E-Myth and The Go-Giver. And just the way you're talking, I thought maybe you had read it, because the points you're pointing at are very similar to the kind of the concept of that book. And the other one is The Go-Giver, which I haven't read yet, but I've read reviews on it, and it's like on my list,
uh-huh.
and I can't wait to chew into that one.
Well, I'm going to download them right away.
And I've
been a little busy.
Oh, uh-huh. I love that you just said download, too, which makes me think that you're into audiobooks. And guys, if you're not picking up audiobooks, this is for the listeners at home. In this industry, we're always on the go. We don't have time to sit down and read. But with audiobooks, you can sit down and just absorb and chew through information. I had never finished a book up to a year ago. I never read a book from beginning to end. And I've gone through like 30 books in the past year just because I can listen to them. And it's such an amazing tool and resource. And audible.com is one. And I know another one's Audible is one I use. I'm drawing a blank. I'll put it in the show notes. But God, I've got to move on. Sorry. I'm getting so hung up here. My bad. All right, so the next question I have for you, what's your best trick of the trade or trend that you're capitalizing on right now?
I think, I kind of stumbled onto this idea, and I didn't think of it, Nat. You know, I didn't do it on purpose, but if you look at the three jewels that I'm rocking right now, Pitfire, Superba Snack Bar,
mm-hmm.
and Superba Food and Bread,
okay.
they're all flour and water. So Snack Bar is a pastaria with small plates. It's the most elevated of the three.
Okay.
And Superba Food and Bread, right? It's a full-on artisan bakery with a restaurant wrapped around it. And Pit Bar is obviously pizza and pasta.
Okay.
And, what's the trick of the trade is value added. So I'm taking fundamental ingredients and I'm adding the value to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having to buy a finished product in your restaurant that you're going to open, you're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
You need to add a value to something.
Mm-hmm.
You need to enhance simple products. And that's kind of like, it's not very fashionable, gluten, but actually I have my thoughts about what, you know, highly processed industrial glutens or natural wild yeasted with good flour. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my trick.
That's awesome.
It works out all right. Flour and water. It's a great business
flour
model.
And water. Yeah, and you know, it's simple. Which simple is very important. The base
Absolutely.
Is simple. Yeah, that's great. I haven't heard that one yet. So thank you for sharing that. The next question I have for you. This is your chance to kind of give your objective opinion on a product or service, because in this industry we're kind of always getting bombarded and bashed around with products and services that supposedly are worth our investment, but it's hard to kind of filter through the ones that are BS.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're
so,
telling me.
And this is why this question, I just wanted for people like you who have success and use these products and services and can give a completely objective review. So drop it on us.
Sure.
What's a product or service that you just are getting an outstanding ROI on, and share it with us.
Well, the best one is some of the cloud-based. I converted my whole company to a cloud-based accounting program.
Okay.
And however, the wireless cloud-based POS systems aren't ready yet. They will be. They work for like a coffee place or a simple transaction.
Yeah.
Kind of place, but they're not like Square and stuff like that. They're not robust enough for a real restaurant.
Yeah.
But they're trying to sell them to us, and like I think one's called Revel, and they're just not ready. They're not, okay. Especially like in a pizza restaurant where you have people that are building pizzas and changing and omitting. You know, we need a lot of flexibility and delivery and takeout and all the different complications that you have. So, but the cloud-based, I can literally on my phone look up all 11 restaurants that I have and see to this moment what they're doing, how much they've sold, how much labor, who's not taking their breaks. All this stuff is available. The cloud-based accounting tools. And then there's a great scheduling budgeting program called Hot Schedules that we love that really works well to build your schedule. Everybody's logging on their phones. And, you know, I'm trying to operate in the modern world where young people live. You know, they live on their and they live in the cloud based, you know, everybody's into that there. So that's a great schedule. People can request time off
What was it called? Hot Scheduler?
Hot Schedule.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out. Is it like, have you heard of Schedulefly?
I've heard of it. I mean, this is the one I like. It works for us, but cool. You know.
I'll look into it.
You can, you got to approach, and then online ordering apps are wonderful for a casual restaurant.
Especially because, I mean, I think you're my first fast casual. And especially in the fast casual world, being able to give the people that option of ordering in advance if they really want to be fast and casual about it, you know, so it's they're waiting. So that's great. Is there
Absolutely.
What else you got for us? Are you tapped out?
As far as like stuff I like, I mean, those are the things that come to mind that really, you know, Hot Schedules has been those two tools. And also, so when you have your accounting up to date, up to the minute, it's a great tool for the managers to always, everybody, you got to know where you are at all times in the restaurant business. You got to know where you are in the week. You know, most restaurants, they live and die by the week. They break it down into periods. You know, weekly periods, but actually here's another really obscure thing, but it's a great thing to know before you set yourself up in accounting. You should schedule your year into 13 four-week periods instead of, you know, the month, because there's not it's not uniform. When you build your whole year and you're accounting on 13 four-week periods, everything lines up correctly.
Awesome. That's good advice.
So you always know where your labor and everything is against your sales.
I like it.
You know, as I say, like, it's not sexy, hot tip sounding, but you just have to know where you are. You have to know. We're a pennies business. We're watching pennies.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to
create dollars.
And it's quantifying and collecting that data so you can see where you are now and where you're going and where you came from. It's super important. You're absolutely right. And one more thing I want to add about scheduling software is it makes people accountable. So now if and I don't know the capabilities of the software you're talking about, Hot Scheduler, but do your employees have the ability to go on their phone and check their schedule like right up with an app?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I love it.
Yeah.
They can do more than that. They can put up a message on the board saying, hey, I need Thursday off.
That's cool.
You know, whatever. And
awesome.
Then instead of having to go through the manager and all that stuff, it gets covered.
Yeah. And see, what that does,
it accelerates.
It creates accountability too. So now if that person doesn't show up to their shift to be like, hey man, it's on your phone. I know you have access to it, so you can't give me that. So
absolutely.
Yep. It's cool.
And it allows us to send messages out more efficiently.
Communication.
And, technology is good in some, I don't like the technology inside a restaurant, but in the back, it's really good. You know, everybody has direct deposit, their checks are direct deposits. And,
awesome.
It's just, you know, using some of those tools, but it's just like gastronomy, molecular gastronomy. We use a lot of that, especially in the Superbas, but you don't know it. right? Mm-hmm. And I think technology has its place, but I don't want to walk into a place with a bunch of iPads and it just doesn't fit.
No.
You know, we're trying to get people out of that.
Exactly. I'm really afraid of what's where the industry is going with tablets. It's not to mention just because the middle class is shrinking already and the food and beverage industry is so responsible for keeping so many people employed. It's like, what's going to happen if this trend takes off? And I really hope people see the importance of, you know, that human connection that you can't get with a tablet. And it really ruins the quality of the experience. I hope they see it that way. All we can do is hope, right? spread awareness, too.
Yeah, lead by example.
Yep, exactly.
That's all there is to it.
You got it. So we're almost done. I'm sorry, I know I quoted you a half hour, but given us so much. I want to get the most out of you. So what's your best business advice for someone getting started in the restaurant?
Capitalization. Once again, it's like there's a lot of great ideas. 90% of them are undercapitalized. You have to get enough help and enough understanding of what you're getting yourself into. You hear this thing, 8 out of 10 restaurants fail or whatever it is. 9 out of, I don't even know what it is anymore.
It's something
but
like that. It's high.
Most of the time it's because of undercapitalization, you know. Sometimes you have to know how much money that you need in order to be successful.
You really can't
plan
enough.
It's not sexy. It's not, you know, and what one of the main purposes of Gonzo is, you know, to take that. Most people will sell their soul to realize their dream in food because those people are so passionate. And, you know, the reality of it is you just can't work for free. You just can't. You have to have some sustainability designed into whatever plan you have. That you got to have enough money.
You got it. You're absolutely right. And you have to, you said it all. I don't have to say anything else. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. And this is the last question before we wrap it up.
Okay.
Are there any questions I could have asked you that you believe would provide value to to our listeners into this interview?
Oh, wow, that's an interesting question. Yeah, you could have asked me, why would anybody be crazy enough to want to be in this business?
Why would anybody want to be crazy enough to be in this business, Paul?
I told you at the beginning, you got to love it, man.
It's true. You really
have to do it. You just have to want to do this.
Yes.
You're going to have obstacles and conflicts constantly coming up in front of you. It's the love and the passion that's going to carry the day for you.
I really think it's just a matter of like flipping a switch in your head that says, you know, I'm in this business because I love making people happy and I love just providing value and I love working my hands. And if you make that switch and then those are the things that you look at as value and that if that's your income and you don't really get caught up in the monetary side of things, and you keep that your goals, and you just keep pushing to make people happy and to accept that as your monetary income, eventually the money will come because
the money comes from from that.
That's right. Where
the real stick to it. Like, I've got kids that like are young chefs around town. There's one or two that have their own really hot concepts now. One's called the Egg Slut, which is a really cool like breakfast sandwich concept, and the other one is a hipster deli up in San Francisco called Wise and Sons.
That's awesome.
And both of those dudes grew up eating at a pit fire, and that was their first contact.
I bet you're so proud.
Caught
right
me out. To tell me that. That's your reward.
That's the little things, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like that's when you do work like that. The other details. People like, so once again, you know, Pit Fire is very sought after by the big business. The big money guys want to get Pit Fire. Go, how many can we, you know, how can we scale this out to, you know, how can we dumb it down and just put it all over the place, basically?
Don't let them ruin you, Paul. Be strong.
Well, the reason why is because they don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
They don't know how to create authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being, true to yourself and not a sellout. I don't know where you're headed, and I don't want to make any assumptions. What you do with your business?
Where I'm headed with Pit Fire. You know, we're working on it.
Yeah.
You know, we're thinking about it because when you have an artisan casual company like that. Like they have, you have to have action. There's got to be stuff going on.
Absolutely.
And we're building two more, and we opened a speakeasy in the back of one. It's called Pi Society, and there's always got to be something going on. And at this point, I don't know that I'm good enough to. I don't aspire to have like 50 restaurants. I just wouldn't know what I wouldn't even know. Like, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. Well, it would be so daunting for me.
If you just keep on helping people make their dreams come true, and if that's what you,
why not?
You switch, and I think you're doing great things. So,
yeah.
So the last one of the last things I do here is I give you an opportunity to call somebody out in the industry. Who's one person you would admire and respect and believe would have a great addition or make a great addition to the show and be able to provide some
somebody that you should have on this show?
Yeah, please.
Oh man, you should get my dear friend Amanda Bacon on your show.
You got it.
She has the hottest, the most wonderful, and because it's very topical. She owns a pressed juice and raw food company called Moon Juice.
Okay.
In Venice, and then there's one in Silver Lake, and she's just getting going. She's a single mom. She's a chef. She's a beautiful person.
I would love
and
to have
her. And she's dripping with, like, mad talent and skills, man.
You heard of Amanda Bacon. I'm coming after
Amanda
you.
Bacon. I'll get you together with her. I'll
awesome.
Talk to her.
Who else do you think might be able to come on? I feel like you just know so many people.
Well, I'd probably like to hear the people maybe that I don't know that I'm interested in. What there's a woman that I know a little bit up in Portland named Natalie Pomeroy.
Okay.
She has an amazing restaurant. She just won a James Beard Award last night, and she has a restaurant called Beast. And that would probably be an interesting conversation.
I'll look into it, and I don't.
Yeah, Natalie Pomeroy.
Got it. I'll do that for you. I'll do everything I can.
Why is it all chicks that I'm saying, dude?
I don't know. It's okay. We need more ladies on the show. And
well, we need more women in food. That's my other message. We need more women in food.
Absolutely.
We need more women running restaurants and involved in food.
You got it. Hey, and this is
a little balance.
I promise this is the last question. This is more not a really question. It's an opportunity for you to give yourself a plug. How can we connect with you and you have so many locations right now. I don't expect you to list all of them, but if somebody's interested, if you've inspired somebody who's listening, like how can they connect with you to maybe look for future employment?
Well, just go to AmericanGonzoFoodCorp.com, and that'll take you everywhere. And I am interested in people's ideas, so we have a format. If you want to, somebody's got something they want to throw up at there.
Oh,
see what happens.
I got an
That's
idea
where you
for
go.
You, and I'll save it for afterwards, but. We'll see what you think.
Okay.
Good
luck, everybody.
Yeah, you were awesome. You really, you made the most of this. We're up to like 56 seconds right now. 56 minutes right now. So it was worth every minute. And I let it go over just because I felt like I didn't want to, hold back anything that you could share. Everything was coming out gold. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and I look forward to everything that happens over at Gonzo Corporation. I think you're going to do cool things.
All right, Eric, man. Good luck. Good work.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'll talk to you later.
You too. Yeah, okay. Maybe I could have moderated that a little bit better. It went pretty long, but you know what? When somebody is just knocking it out of the park like Paul did today, you gotta let him go with it. When we learned so much, and everything that came out of his mouth was like just pure gold, and I hope you guys were able to take something away from this experience. I know I did, and it was just it was such a great experience for me. Just some of the things I wanted to recap on today's show, and I'll just do keywords: community, helping, culture, kindness, happiness, and generosity. It's just a few of the things that really stuck out to me and I think are a big part of what it is that they have got, going over there at American Gonzo Corp that is just contributing to their success, and we could all learn from it. And another thing too is just put that positive energy out there. If you put positive energy into the world's going to put positive energy back onto you. And that's just, you have to have that mentality or else you'll just be miserable, and you got to look at the silver linings in this industry or else, you just won't be happy. You have to be really open-minded, and I think you get that vibe from Paul. I know I do, and look where it got him. So we can all learn something. Also, readers are leaders, and or leaders are readers, however the saying goes. But I mean, Paul again is a great example. He's so just versed in so many different books, and he just you can tell when he talks. I mean, but you have to constantly be exercising your mind and just finding out what resources out there and how you can look at the world differently. And he lists so many different books, and we talked about so many different books in this episode. And really, you guys need to push yourself. And if you don't have time to read, well, guess what? There's no excuse today. There's audiobooks. All you need to do is hit play and absorb. So that's all I got for you guys today. It was a blast. I learned so much. I hope you did too. Such a great episode. Can't wait until next time. Peace out.